We're going to be interviewing the irrepressible and totally unique Clay Clark. He's going to be talking to me about the bank collapses, and he's connecting the dots and thinking this is heading towards the Yuval Harari's World Economic Forum threat of a new economic system, a digital system, and surveillance under the skin. This is one very interesting interview. It'll connect the dots for a lot of you that are into understanding what is going on with the Luciferians and the elites and Epstein and Gates. And boy, the way that he connects those dots is most interesting. So I want you guys to all be able to hear that. The one thing that we are aware of is that there's a great shaking that is happening. You need a percentage of your financial future, IRA, retirement, whatever you've got. Make sure that you search out how to connect it to what has a stored, stable value in any storm. Paper currencies can move up, move down, be replaced. Gold and silver is what nations are now acquiring as the currency of the future. So I want you to go to LanceWilner.com/Birch. Download the 21-page report on silver and gold and commodities and precious metals, and take a look at it. Even if you have a little to work with, take the little you've got, mix it with knowledge, get those 21 pages in your head so that you're going to be able to be a steward. God can get more to you if he can get it through you. And so you want to go to LanceWilner.com/Birch. Make sure that you get the information and move now while the window is open. Let's get into this Clay Clark update right now. Welcome, welcome to the Lance Wilner Show. This is the show that I didn't know I was going to be doing a year and a half ago, but 10 million downloads tells me that there's evidently an interest in the subject of getting a prophetic perspective on the news and hopefully being able to produce a kind of a sense of hope with realism regarding the nature of the battle that we are in. And there's nobody that I feel has done more to advance the cause of courageous conversation in the public square regarding everything from vaccines to monetary manipulation to election fraud. You name all the cancelable subject matters that took me off of YouTube and get me in trouble to this day. And Clay Clark can be traced almost at the root of it, like Forrest Gump. He's at the scene of every one of these subjects, leading the parade. Clay, would you please join us?
I am honored to be here with you and your listeners. And I promise I will cite all of my sources on today's show so your listeners can really deep dive in and verify that I have not lost my mind.
No, Clay, indeed, you have not lost your mind. Clay will be able to verify and back up everything that he's saying. And so let's go ahead and let's do a broad scope sweep. You've been doing your Great Awakening events, and tell me about your last event. What was there that happened that's unique?
Well, we were in Nashville, Tennessee at Pastor Greg Locke's church. And I said, Greg, if we go to Nashville at your church, we might have a little bit of a parking problem. And Greg says, you show up at my church, we'll make it happen. And his church really did deliver. But I'm not exaggerating at all, Lance. I sent the drone video up at 4:45 in the morning. And the view of the cars in line extended 4 or 5 miles in each direction. At 5 in the morning, at 4:45 in the morning. So pre-5 in the morning, we had lines 4 and 5 miles in each direction to come to the Reawaken America Tour. And I'm confident people are going to timetofreeamerica.com and they're getting tickets to the Reawaken America Tour because of voices like yours, because of folks like General Flynn, Kash Patel, Eric Trump, Sean Foyt, the praise and worship leader. And what I'm doing behind the scenes is I'm trying to create a symphony of people that are all voices in unison that are wanting to share the truth about these subjects that we're not supposed to talk about, known as the truth. But it all needs to be explained from a biblical perspective because God and our Bible, the Word of God, is in fact the irrefutable final source of truth.
And that's what I love about you and your wife, that you're willing to connect the dots and bring it to the Word of God and to the truth that is revealed in the Bible, and that's why I think you're formidable. I didn't know that Greg Locke was in Nashville. I don't know where I thought he was, but I didn't realize his church was Nashville.
Well, it was a story of God doing great things. He started off with a very small church just outside of Nashville, a small suburb there, and he refused to lock down, to quarantine, to do mask mandates. Lance, he's the first pastor in America that I know of that issued a reverse mask mandate, saying that you cannot perpetuate the COVID narrative by wearing a mask. You can't perpetuate the lie by wearing a mask. And so therefore, if you want to attend his church, you can't wear a mask. And his church has grown from just a few dozen people to hundreds of people to now thousands and thousands of people call his church home. And I encourage everybody to check out Pastor Greg Locke's church just outside of Nashville, Tennessee, if you are in the area. He's a charismatic preacher and teacher, but more importantly, in my opinion, he's someone who loves our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he's absolutely deep diving into the Word of God, and he's standing up against Klaus Schwab and the Great Reset.
Now, doesn't he have a movie coming out about Come Out in Jesus' Name? Isn't that a movie?
Yeah. It's called Deliverance, and a late invitation for you, but on March 23rd, Lance, in my office behind me, in my building, we're going to have about 400 patriots packed in here to my office, and Greg Locke will be speaking, Jim Brewer will be speaking, and we're kind of doing a Reawaken America Tour light edition, meaning that we'll have about 400 to 500 people here as opposed to the normal 4,000 to 5,000. And people can learn more about that and get tickets to see Pastor Greg Locke in person at timetofreeamerica.com. And as a housekeeping note, Lance, I always forget to tell people, you can name your price to our events. You can pay whatever price you want, which is why I'm extremely not profitable right now, although I'm not running a nonprofit.
Well, fortunately, you've got business acumen and your Thrive businesses are underwriting your experiment in philanthropy.
So there it is.
That's what I'm doing. I applaud you. All right. So let's get into the subject, which is obviously on everybody's lips. I'm reading the Drudge Report today. I don't always go there, but when I want to know what the apocalyptic headlines are, I go to Drudge just to see what Matt Drudge is doing to make money on his website. And the Drudge Report is, oh boy, because I was I was in Guatemala, and I was meeting there with the president and his staff, because we believe we have to form a anti-Marxist firewall in Central America. I believe the election was stolen in Brazil. Lula's working with the Communist Party. They're opening up the door to China. And I wanted to make sure that the conservatives and Christians are prepared in Central America to hold the line and not let South America get eaten up by communism. So here's some headlines from Drudge as we lead into this conversation with Clay Clark. System is breaking down, Eichen says. Griffin says, capitalism is hurting Silicon Valley. Once the underdog is now too big to fail. Twitter's first fueled bank run. Washington Rescue doesn't erase doubts. Rating agency puts lenders on downgrade watch. Credit Suisse, is that next to fold? Who killed the SVB, which is our Silicon Valley bank? One board member had career in investment banking. Inflation is now 6%, and Moody's warning is that our situation is rapidly deteriorating. And in the face of that, stocks are starting to rally. Probably because of the government's message that they're going to start bailing out banks. So we know that this is a woke bank. That's the first thing that I discovered when I looked at their homepage. What can you tell us about the Silicon Valley Bank, Clay?
Bunch of facts here for you. SVB, or Silicon Valley Bank, is a bank that's closely connected to a lot of startup companies. So if you look up Y Combinator is the startup engine, or the startup kind of incubator for a lot of successful companies like Dropbox or Reddit. And you're going to see a close tie between these Silicon Valley success stories and this Silicon Valley Bank. Silicon Valley Bank, when the bank collapsed, I want people to understand this, when the bank collapsed or failed, it had over $150 billion worth of assets. And I'm looking at my notes over here so I don't get this wrong. I want people to understand this. The FDIC, this is the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, claims to insure $9 trillion of bank deposits, Lance, $9 trillion of bank deposits, with only $125 billion of assets. So on Friday, when a lot of friends were calling me, they said, what do you think is going to happen? I said, well, what's going to happen is, very quickly, you're going to see other banks collapse. And sure enough, Sunday night, before the Monday markets opened, you saw Signature Bank fail. Signature Bank collapsed, and then you saw First Republic Bank collapse, and now you're seeing many other warnings being issued about the instability of banks. And I have a brief sound clip I want to play, Lance. This is from the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation from a November conference meeting. This is the FDIC from November of 2022. Listen to this, folks.
It's important that people understand they can be bailed in, but you don't want a huge run on the institution. But they have, I mean, they're going to be. That's and it could be an early warning signal to the FDIC and the primary regulators when these things happen. And there may be some other prices. This is similar to what Jay was saying, in the market that you can tell whether people understand how the who's going to be protected, who isn't going to be protected.
Now, meanwhile, you have the CEO of Quant, okay, the name of the new CBDC, the central bank digital currency technology being rolled out is called Quant. I want everybody to do a search on Google right now. Just type in CBDC Quant, specifically Lance, the website that everybody can go to right now if you want to read about these central bank digital currencies. The technology is called Quant.network, Quant.network. The CEO of Quant, Gilbert Verdean, is running around telling people that the America is about ready to adopt the central bank digital currency. I want everybody also to do a Google search for MIT CBDC. MIT developed the CBDCs, and then do a search for MIT Quantum Dot. The Quantum Dot is the technology developed by MIT. And that technology allows you to store someone's financial records and their medical records under the skin. Again, the Quantum Dot, developed by MIT, allows you to store a patient's vaccination status, their medical records, and financial records under their skin. So I just want to play this brief clip. This is the CEO of Quant. His name is Gilbert Verdean, describing how the technology works. Here we go.
So money is evolving from a very binary thing, which is where it is today, to a very complicated, intelligent form of money, which we call smart money.
So he's saying we're moving into a non-binary money. Now, here's Yuval Noah Harari following up with a comment about non-binary money. Here we go.
The financial system will become so complicated as AI takes over more and more of the action that it will be just too complicated for the human mind. So how does a system functions when no human really understands it? The nature of money is going to change quite dramatically.
Now, in Israel, there is a massive 500,000-person, 400,000-person protest occurring in Israel right now. And guess who keeps showing up as a keynote speaker? This guy. Yuval Noah Harari is showing up leading these protests in Israel right now. So it's all, you're starting to begin to see more Klaus Schwab.
Do you know what the protests are over, Clay?
Yes. Benjamin Netanyahu is wanting to not allow revisionist judges to thwart the law. So and so the mainstream media in Israel is saying that Benjamin Netanyahu is a threat to the democracy. Sound familiar? So in America, President Donald J. Trump was exposing these revisionist judges. And for anybody out there that doesn't know the word revisionist, what I'm saying is there are judges that don't want to follow the law. They want to interpret the law and make their progressive rulings on the law and to set precedent for other rulings. And so the mainstream media is labeling Benjamin Netanyahu as a threat to democracy, just like they're labeling President Donald J. Trump as a threat to democracy. So, but the man leading this fight to quote unquote save democracy is none other than Yuval Noah Harari, a man praised by Obama, Zuckerberg, Gates, MIT, Stanford, Harvard, TED Talks. And they now call this guy Yuval Noah Harari. They're now referring to him as the prophet.
Okay, so he is obviously, one of the dangerous advocates for surveillance under the skin. He has repeated that comment with a kind of a delirious delight, like what a great innovation that will be when people can all be surveilled under the skin. But I want to go back to something interesting I found out today, Clay, is that in the last 5 years, I was talking to an economist today about the Silicon Valley Bank thing. And for me, it's kind of like one of my great idols is like I have a little picture of Rush Limbaugh here on my desk to remind me how I got involved with conservative political broadcasting was listening to how he framed his perception of what was going on. And then I started prophetically getting information on Donald Trump and the conservatives, and it hadn't stopped since then. But I realized, all right, so there's a place for prophetic conservative broadcasting. And part of that that instinct is to be able to be the mayor of Realville, he used to call it, which is also to protect my people from not hitting the panic bar on the momentum of connecting dots that could be connected, but it doesn't include all the data. So, for instance, I did my call before you and I did this broadcast today. I had an economist on who worked with Milton Friedman, who was warning me about the economic meltdown 10 years ago. And I wish I hadn't listened to him, because if I had thought about it, when we had 0% interest and 1% and 2% interest, I would have been doing what a lot of smart people were doing, which was leveraging all that low interest to buy property. And I kept on saying it's unsustainable debt. We can't control the debt ceiling, where that our real debt is actually $37 trillion, because we have liabilities for Social Security that's not on the bank books of the American people. When we talk about a $31 trillion debt, it's really 30. It's higher than that. But so I got traumatized by my friend Mark, so that I never really invested. I really should have, and I learned a lesson, and that is that when you are looking at the seriousness of the problem, that doesn't mean you know the timing for what's going to happen. And so you don't want to live in a constant state of hitting, you know, the panic bar when the panic, when the breakdown doesn't happen. So I said to him, talk to me about SVC. He said, yeah, they're a woke corporation. They prioritized a lot of their investments were with tech companies and companies that would share their woke values. He said, but that wasn't the problem. He said, there are 500 banks that have failed over the last 5 years. This year alone, 2 banks have failed every month. So when you hear another bank failure, you have to put it in the context of, is this normal? Yeah, banks are failing at the rate of 2 a month. 500 in the last 5 years. I didn't know that. But he tracks this data as an economist. Why isn't he upset? Because fundamentally, the real problem is fear and not necessarily entirely banking infrastructure. So there's plenty of banks that are now going to have the courage to come clean in terms of what decisions they made. So for the non-technical banking people out there that are my audience, what he was explaining is that the Silicon Valley Bank looked at low interest rates and made the moronic assumption that Trump's 1% or 2% interest rates would be sustained with Joe Biden and the Democrats and the Uniparty in office. Therefore, they made massive commitments in terms of how they were going to manage their money based on an assumption that they were going to have free money to play with. Now that it's up to like 6% or 7%, the margin is squeezed out of their liquidity, and they have to start going for how they could be able to maintain a sufficient balance in the bank to be able to match withdrawals from customers. When they had a surge of withdrawals coming to them that exceeded like the 1.7% ratio they're supposed to have for money on hand, they actually hit, they had to close shop. This is, and you know, like this Mr. Wonderful, listen to him on Neil Cavuto yesterday. He says he has no corporation, none of his CEOs are allowed to be doing banking with any company with more than 20% dependence on any one banking institute. He does not have confidence in any of them enough to go beyond 20% with any one bank. So they have to diversify into all these different lending institutions. Silicon Valley, this guy, Mr. Marvelous, wonderful, says, is evidence of management incompetency combined with woke ideology. It's woke ideology that causes you to make preferential investments in companies that mirror your Marxism. But worse yet, they did it with lousy economics behind them. I said, my question is, well, how many banks are actually like that? And the feeling is that the majority of the big banks have a challenge, but that the end is not yet. Now, let's see how fast the unraveling happens. But, you know, I live in a news cycle, as you do, where people forgive you for clickbait. I mean, everything's falling apart next week, but if it doesn't happen, they don't care because I've got a new story to tell them. And I try not to do that. So what I'm letting people know is, this is a financial crisis because banking itself has been based upon an assumption that America can continue to function the way that it has, and it can't continue that way. So there's going to be tremendous spasms, and there's going to be other meltdowns, but that overall, I'm not seeing this as the immediate. I'm looking at some shock prophecies that get to me, like during the Feast of Purim, there's going to be a complete financial meltdown, digital currencies coming out, et cetera. I think it's going to be a more gradual descent than that. But I'm saying that even if so, Credit Suisse is in danger of falling. Big headline. So I hit that today. But then I call my economist guy in. I say, tell me about Credit Suisse. Isn't that something to worry about? He said, no. Because the United States isn't heavily indebted to Credit Suisse. We bailed them out 3 years ago when they had a crisis just to keep them stable because they're mostly European. But it shows that the whole financial system is, in my opinion, under judgment. And it's self-judgment. It's the judgment of irresponsible decision-making and spending and the lack of transparency in banking. So that's my speech anyway. Out there, I did not know we had 500 bank failures in the last 5 years, and that this is kind of like the way banks are going. Do you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I had two clips. I think sometimes I am aware of how credible my voice is or how credible my voice isn't, Lance. So I'm just going to queue up two brief clips here. I think Tucker did a great job last night explaining this. I want to hear people hear.
So think about this for a second. You've got a deposit at a regional bank that's holding tons, way more than you know, of long-term treasuries that are worth a lot less than they were when the bank bought them. That means that bank is at risk. That means your money's at risk.
Okay, so that's kind of the explanation of what Tucker's perspective is. Now, Tucker had on Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, yesterday, who came out openly in opposition to central bank digital currencies. And I want people to really listen to this because this is a serious conversation. I mean, this is the governor of South Dakota talking to Tucker Carlson. Here we go.
Several states are now trying to centralize currency with these so-called central bank digital currency, which is, by the way, not currency at all. It's software. Do you think that legislators in your state understand what this bill was actually designed to do?
Yeah, I don't know if they read it, Tucker. That's what.
So that's where we're at. So, Lance, you know, in my state, the great state of Oklahoma, Clay Stairs, a representative from Oklahoma here, District 66, he is coming out with legislation opposing the central bank digital currencies. But that is the goal of the central bank digital currency. That is the goal of the Great Reset. That is the goal of COVID-19. All of this is to put what's called surveillance under the skin. And you say, what? Surveillance under the skin. And I think if you have a sound mind and you're listening to your show and listening to my voice right now, you might want to have a healthy skepticism about this idea of surveillance under the skin. But I'm not the one who's saying this statement. Yuval Noah Harari is the top advisor. Okay, this is what he does, the top advisor for Klaus Schwab. And he is openly telling anybody that will listen that COVID-19, the coronavirus, is all about putting surveillance under the skin. So let me just pull up this clip here because I want people to listen to his voice and listen to what he says, because he is stating openly that the coronavirus, COVID-19, is all about putting surveillance under the skin. Here we go.
COVID makes it accelerates the process of digitalization and automatization. It legitimizes the deployment of mass surveillance, and it makes surveillance go under your skin.
So, this is what Yuval Noah Harari is saying. He says, ideally, COVID, Lance, makes surveillance go under the skin. So that's really the agenda here. Final clip I had for you. This is Richard Warner, who's perhaps one of the top experts in the world on central bank digital currencies. Richard Warner, and listen to what he says.
The nature of this CBDC, what is it actually going to look like? They never talk about that. But I heard one European central banker tell me what it's going to look like. And it was around this large and would be implanted under your skin.
Implanted under your skin. So that goes back to that. So all I can say is forget what I'm saying. Listen to what they are saying. Who is they? Yuval Noah Harari, Klaus Schwab, and then Lance, as a resource for your listeners, if they go to timetofreeamerica.com, they could read Executive Order 14067, Executive Order 14067, signed by Joe Biden. They can read the entire executive order, thus paving the way for central bank digital currencies. Also, they can learn about BRICS, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. These countries are all teaming up together with Saudi Arabia, with Iran. And by the way, Iran and Saudi Arabia just put together a deal together. Usher in the new BRICS currency. And the BRICS Bank is also called the New Development Bank. And the New Development Bank is based in Shanghai. And they are Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, Venezuela, Iran. They're talking about introducing a new BRICS currency, which would be a gold-backed central bank digital currency. And that is alarming. Lance, that being said, I'm not going to staple my forehead to the carpet. However, I wouldn't be surprised if I woke up tomorrow with my head stapled to the carpet. But I would encourage everybody out there to get some of your money into gold and silver. I'm not sure if you have a gold and silver sponsor, Lance, that you recommend, but I would encourage everybody to schedule a consultation at least for a certain percentage of your income to be in gold and silver. And when you look at Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, don't trust me, folks. Look this up. They're buying the earth's gold. They're hoarding the earth's gold. Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. I would do that. I wouldn't take 90% of my income and do that, but I would take a certain percentage of your portfolio. And you at least need to understand the game plan of the Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa as they seek to unseat the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency.
Yeah, there's no doubt about the fact that the Davos agenda is seeking this surveillance under the skin as though it is going to help the enlightened elites manage the ignorant masses in the face of the next pandemic to make sure that you're vaccinated and you're isolated from people that aren't vaccinated. And remember, your Governor Newsom, who if he had the ability, he would have broke up every home Bible study and singing gathering in a home in California, where he outlawed it, while the marijuana dispensaries and clubs could be open, but the home Bible studies had to be shut down. This is a kind of bizarre capacity you never want to give government, especially when they're delighted about the ability to do it. I sat next to South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem's senior advisor last week, oddly enough, at a meeting with General Flynn. And it was interesting because he leaned over to me and said that he was the guy that presented to the governor the alert that there was legislation that had to do with just a financial code update. And embedded in it was the redefining of money. So that, catch this, you're redefining gender, you're redefining economies, you're redefining man, women, marriage, and now they're redefining money. And he said literally it was under a redefinition of money clause that he had her strike out, and she was very willing to do it. I said, well, how many other governors are aware of this? He said, it all depends on how many other governors have people like me reading what they're signing. Because this is there is no doubt that there is an elite spirit principality trying to mobilize a breakdown of economies and nations so as to facilitate a reset that is going to accommodate digital control with this injection. I'm going a little bit over here, but I don't know if you saw the celebration. It was bizarre at Davos is how they celebrate the things that horrify us, they're high-fiving over. So Duke University has a professor that says, this is a wonderful breakthrough, an ear monitoring device that can radiate your thoughts. When you wear it, it will tell you whether or not you're focusing on task completion or whether you're diverting your focus into more pleasurable distracting, like, email or checking on something else, so that your boss can track when you are focused, the guys with the oars in Ben-Hur with the belly of the ship where they're beating the drum. And if you're slacking, they'll be able to come by with the whip, because the digital slave of the future, they can now monitor your thoughts with an external device. What Harari says that you could do is eventually monitor the thoughts with an internal device. And this is the part that freaked me out when I heard him. He said, imagine if Stalin could have had the ability to know when his speech was enjoyed or actually loathed, because the data, blood pressure going up, anger, agitation, discomfort, you literally could tell who liked your speech and who didn't And you don't need to do the old inefficient system where people write notes on each other and send it over to central state police. He said AI now has the ability to process terabytes of data so that it can send to central offices where the people are that are out of harmony with the elites and the one world agenda. My friend, that's going to the mark of the beast at a level which even Hal Lindsey never dreamed of when he wrote Late Great Planet Earth. But it's out there, and you can't deny it. It's out there, and these guys are excited about the probability that corporations can now monitor more effectively the task focus of their employees. Where will that go?
Well, Lance, I want to play this if I have 60 seconds here. This is Yuval. This is like the best of the worst, okay? This is a recent mashup. Listen to what he's saying here. Listen to this, folks. Just listen to what this man is saying out loud.
COVID is critical because this is what convinces people to accept, to legitimize total biometric surveillance. We want to stop this epidemic. We need not just to monitor people, we need to monitor what's happening under their skin. What we have seen so far, it's corporations and governments collecting data about where we go, who we meet, what movies we watch. The next phase is the surveillance going under our skin. We now see mass surveillance systems established even in democratic countries, which previously rejected them. And we also see a change in the nature of surveillance. Previously, surveillance was mainly above the skin. Now it's going under the skin.
Embedded in his hand is a microchip that serves as his keys, his ID, and his wallet.
Governments want to know not just where we go or who we meet. Above all, they want to know what is happening under our skin.
I knew these vaccines were not going to protect against infection.
COVID makes it accelerates the process of digitalization and automatization. It legitimizes the deployment of mass surveillance, and it makes surveillance go under your skin.
This is Richard Werner.
They're saying it now out loud. And Lance, I would love for you to check this out today. If you go to Twitter, and look up Grimes, G-R-I-M-E-S, Grimes on Twitter. That's the woman that Elon Musk created two children with. She is now tweeting about that. She's saying that the singularity, the system has been created. And she just tweeted this out. I want people to understand this. She just tweeted out today. She said, I'm traveling back in time to save Julius Caesar. You have just 12 hours to stop me. These are the people who CERN has a logo, 666. It's powered by the Google Chrome quantum computer, okay? They have the God of Shiva in front of CERN. They've called this the God of Shiva statues in front of CERN, the God of destruction. They did a satanic, the whole concept of CERN is satanic. And CERN is located on top of the former Temple of Apollo, Revelation 9:11. She has changed, she refers to herself, Grimes, as Miss Anthropocene. And if you go to the World Economic Forum website, the phrase Anthropocene is a time period that the World Economic Forum believes that most humans won't survive, and Grimes calls herself Miss Anthropocene. And she is now discussing that she is time traveling, allegedly, using this technology. I mean, you talk about the strange, the weird, the irrevocably demonically inspired people. You're talking about Grimes. You're talking about Yuval Noah Harari. You're talking about Klaus Schwab. And I know a lot of Christians, a lot of times, and I'm who am I talking to? I probably could do, I'm kind of auditing myself here. Sometimes when we read about the Nephilim in the Bible, or we read about the supernatural, the aspects of the Bible, or the 27% of the Bible that's prophetic, a lot of times it's uncomfortable because it's outside of the grasp of our day-to-day. But these Luciferians, and specifically Jeffrey Epstein, the man that funded MIT, the same MIT that made the quantum dot, these people are committed. I mean, Jeffrey Epstein, the world's most prolific pedophile, put a temple on his island to pray to Satan. Look it up, folks, on DuckDuckGo. Also, Bill Gates, he thinks so highly of Marina Abramovich, the demonically inspired spirit cooker, that he featured her during the Easter Microsoft commercial. So I'm telling you, it is an epic battle between good and evil. And Lance, I'm so glad that you're on our team. And I just encourage everybody today Go to timetofreeamerica.com. Learn about the next Reawaken America Tour event we're doing in May at Trump Doral, or the event we're doing in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I encourage everybody out there to come join us on the Reawaken America Tour. Each event, we have 70 plus speakers. We allow you to name your price, and it's absolutely going to be a life-changing event for you. We also do baptisms on Friday nights, and that's really the only number that I count, is how many baptisms that we do on a Friday night.
I love it. Most wonderful. I'm so glad to see that. Nick, how old are you, by the way, Clay? Can I ask that?
42, working on 74.
I love it. See, that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a new generation of leaders arising, and it just thrills me to see that we've got the torch is not going to go out. By the way, I think we need to have a new theme song. I'm going to start playing Frank Sinatra's I've Got You Under My Skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me. I think those lyrics are very prophetic.
I said, under my skin.
Exactly. I think it'll open with that. I got you. I tried so hard not to give in. I said to myself, this affair is never going to go so well. And so, and it's true. It's going to end in disaster. But we know what hour we are living in. And I think that if there's a benefit to having all of this copious insight into the detailed agenda of the Luciferians, it's that stuff is getting exposed. Now, my big fear isn't them. My big fear is China, because the West is becoming decadent. Its collapse of culture is making it weak. Its economy, its military, its civic structures are collapsing. And without revival, without awakening, they won't be renewed. The nationalist nations, and you know, people are all beaten up on Christian nationalists. I think it's the most idiotic and stupid thing Christians can do, because you've got to love your nation, because it won't be a sheep nation if you forsake your nation, because the goat nations are going to consolidate. Consolidation of goat nations. Read the book, The Virtue of Nationalism, by a Hebrew professor, and you'll see how God designed nation states that are healthy to be the antidote to the beast system dominating everything. And we're here for the preservation of sheep nations. And this is the end time game. Thank you, Clay Clark. I look forward to talking to you some more. By the way, folks, don't forget, we're going to be in March 19, 20, and 21 at the Ocala World Equestrian Center. Mario Murillo and I are going to be doing outreach. We've got like 4,500, 5,000 registered right now. Go to fireandglorytour.com. Make sure you get yourself a seat. It's free at World Equestrian Center. The miracles, signs, wonders, deliverances are amazing. We're watching revival and harvest, and more we're trying to find that delicate balance between the great awakening, the great revival, and reach into the governmental apparatus that can save the government mountain, or at least stop the madness. You want to go to fireandglorytours.com. And I'm looking forward to seeing all of you again tomorrow. Thanks again to Clay Clark. Check him out. God bless.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.